Yeah, it was, if we want to start, I can talk about it.
It's Boom. Already recording.
Hey. Started recording in general. Craig, 809.
Yeah, we took over his car into the shop a couple of weeks ago, and they checked it out, said everything was good, and not long afterwards, the low tire pressure light came on. And so gave it a day or two just to see if it was intermittent, because the low pressure indicator on my car can be intermittent, especially when the temperature is fluctuating pretty hard. So day or two later, it went off. And it was off for a couple of days, and then it started coming in and out and finally just stayed on solid. So one of her tires looked clearly low compared to the other one. So topped that one off. I've got a little home pump, and the light went away. So we didn't think much of it until the light was back on a couple of days later. So given it another couple of days, didn't really go intermittent this time, just sort of stayed on. So went to top it back off tonight, found that that same tire wasn't really low, but all of the other three were also low. So either they all sprung a slow leak at about the same time, or someone at the dealership forgot to top the tires off.
Yeah, that's an easy.
We had a
easy number two there.
That's kind of
We had a change in weather here recently, slowly but recently. So it could be temperature fluctuations. There's been for a day or two a small crack in the windshield, thanks to a large. You know, those like turbo diesel size pickup trucks.
Yeah.
Had one of those knobby tires and it threw a rock into the windshield of one of our cars. And it was like I heard it and there was nothing there. And then a day later, there was a little thing there. And now there's like a foot and a half long thing there because the temperature fluctuations are so great at this point of the year.
Sure. Yeah. Every time you thermally cycle it, it grows and it grows and it grows and it just gets, it's runaway.
So your tires actually thermal cycle as well.
Yes,
totally.
They lose pressure at this time of year.
Yeah, and that's totally normal, right? But Michael's point is correct that the dealership should have topped it up with air for free as part of the other stuff they paid them for.
1,000,000,000% true.
And so they probably didn't do that. And so the one that was low already was the lowest of the four, and now the other three have just caught up.
Yep. You know what should be illegal is charging for air at the gas station.
You don't have to pay that. Hello, welcome to We Were Gamers. This is episode 397. You've heard 5 minutes of us talking about cars. We'll get ready for some more. Every gas station, the air is free. You just go into the gas station and be like, hey, can you turn on the air? And they'll do it for free. You pay nothing.
Hmm.
So there you go. That works every time. Every gas station in the U.S. that I'm aware of.
I think it's shady to have the coins out there at all. They shouldn't be allowed to do that and to begin with.
Yeah, totally. It's people's laziness, right? That's the only thing it capitalizes off of. But if you just walk into the AMPM or whatever that's right there and be like, hey, can you turn on the air for me? They go, okay. And then it turns on and it's like free.
What do they think? Nothing. Someone's just going to run it all day? Why do they have that?
It's literally just laziness. That's the only thing I can think of. Before I learned that this was a thing, and the water too, by the way, is free also. Okay. I paid the, 50 cents or whatever, but like, yeah, just because people are lazy. Just go in there and get it for free. Everyone, hey, that's a thing.
Man, I wish that worked with, gasoline and groceries.
hey, you turn on the pump.
Give me the gas.
I'm pretty sure that's called a stick up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess the way
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have not and will not commit said crime.
Wise to not admit crimes on a podcast, but we will.
I think will people have. I don't know who, but I'm pretty sure I've seen videos out there of people doing it.
You know, we don't always have the best and brightest. I'll say, but thankfully on this
low
podcast,
barrier of entry, right?
We give you hot tips. Go take free air for your tires from gas stations everywhere. All right, gentlemen, how you been doing? You have all right weeks? This was a weird one, I think.
It was a weird one.
What I'll tell you, though.
Life throws fastballs and curveballs, and you got to learn how to hit both if you want to stay in the majors.
True story.
I was going to say, life comes at you fast in a, like in a basketball game. You guys watch any of that basketball this weekend?
Oh,
I did indeed.
That poor finals. I feel so bad. Like on the one hand, you want to say that you want the person that's worked the hardest to win it all, you know, the championship mentality, best at this level, take it all for the future. But also, it would be real nice if the game of basketball didn't turn into softball and all the other things where it's like, well, if you have the superstar, you just win. So also, I'm torn about that one.
There was a lot of people mad about it becoming ref ball at the end. And
especially in that semifinal. Yeah.
I get it.
I guess I was just talking about the final.
Yeah, yeah. The final was not that, I don't feel, right? It was a legitimate, like, you know, it was just a game they played. I don't feel the ref calls were extra outrageous. There's always something you can complain about, right?
Sure, yeah.
Depending on who you're rooting for. But that semifinal was like really got people mad. But I watched the play. I saw the replays. I saw it live. I think it was a foul.
You can see where they called the foul, but it wasn't a hard foul, and they had let similar ones go already. I think that was what got people, right? Was the lack of consistency. And I think that's frequently what it is with refs putting a finger on the scale.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, I think I would have said they should have called those other ones too. And finally the ref noticed and called it. I don't know. It's tough,
man.
Yeah. But
when we're done with this, I have a related Major League Baseball situation.
The one point I wanted to bring up, apparently the thing I saw on the internet was the women's NCAA finals was the highest rated basketball event on ESPN. Now, we're recording this before the men's has finished, so I guess it's possible that one is higher somehow. But that women's game was the highest basketball thing ESPN has ever shown, ever.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Bigger ratings than any NBA game.
Although I don't think
NBA is on ESPN. Much
NBA. I don't think a lot, if
exactly.
any.
Exactly.
But also, they have been carrying all the other Final Four stuff, and it's been beating that too.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's certainly the biggest college thing for sure. And you're right, right? Like most of the NBA stuff is on what TNT and TBS and those channels, right?
You know, those channels that also don't have generally high viewership.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just thought that was a very impressive statistic and showed that like people really got behind this one this year.
I saw, what was it, in 2023? I think it was like 2023. I'm going to try and remember this off the top of my head. But like, F1 outdid NBA, and F1's like barely on regular TV, but when it is, it outdoes the NBA. And I think the NBA is only like maybe a third. I'm trying to go off the top of my head here and remember it. A third, maybe it's half again better is the NHL, which is like none of these numbers are very high compared to the MLB.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that, you know, the issues there is that, like, especially with the NBA, is that, like, people don't watch those games week in and week out, right? It's like, it's on and people see them, but they're not, like, tuning in to follow, you know, every game of the Lakers or the Clippers or whichever the team near you is, right? It's just less popular. Even if the stadiums sell out and the games do well, you know, for the teams, it's not necessarily as big nationally televised, sure. Right?
Well, in general, TV audiences are way down. I know that, like...
Yeah, totally.
The World Series TV ratings were in the tens of millions before, and some time around 2020, they dropped from the tens to the single millions.
And the other thing is that, like, there are definitely people watching them online. The people that are watching them online won't tell you how many of those people there are, right? So. Yeah. You had a... Speaking of ratings and other major league sports,
I'm I'm gonna butcher his last name, but Nolan Shanuel. Have you heard about this gentleman? Angels with the awesome pickups of just drafting everyone with the name Nolan. Had Nolan Ryan. Nolan Shanuel, I think his name is. Shanuel. I'm going with that. Rookie last year, I think. They've drafted him in 2023, almost certain.
Okay. Oh, no, I know what this is. Okay, yes. I know what this is about now.
Did you hear about this?
I read about this on a website, yeah.
Stats, not so great. I mean, like, not bad, but, like, not a home. He's got 2 home runs, I think, and he's got batting, like,
explain it to the people. I think, like, you know, you got
to. Yeah, I'm unaware. So explain to me what's going on.
Okay, so he comes out of college, and they draft him, and they're like, hey, this guy's pretty good. I mean, like, he's like a low-end MLB player. We should probably just move him up. So he goes from draft through the A's, all the level of the A's, and into the Angels roster 40 days after being drafted.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so he plays part of the 2023 season. I don't know if you count that as a rookie year or not because he didn't play the whole season or whatever. But they stick him at first base. I'm not. I think he was a college first baseman as well, but don't remember. And they're like, the reason we're doing that is because the dude gets on base. He like doesn't. He's not a power all the time, but he gets RBIs and he gets on base. So last year they put him in. He does all right. 36 straight games reaching first base, on base percentage wise, right? Like walk, try pitch, single, whatever. 36 straight games.
Yeah, not necessarily hits, but got on base, right?
On base every game, 36 games in a row. Turns out that's third on the list.
Like all time streak ever.
All time forever streak. One is. I think the record he was about to beat was 1918, and the other one is like 1984, and this streak by a debut player, not just streak of all time. So they're telling everybody he's 2 games away from getting to second on the list, and everyone's like really jazzed up about it. And, you know, you've got the A's with the stadium nonsense going on. You've got the Shohei Ohtani drama. You've got, Angel Hernandez.
Shohei Ohtani betting scandal. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you're right.
A's being a complete cheapskate and running his team out of town because he can't get bilk more money out of the citizens of Oakland. Like,
well, I mean, they have to play at a AAA stadium for 3 years.
Which, because he also can't bilk money out of the Las Vegas. He's losing in every single direction. Yeah. But, you know, based on the crowds they're getting in Oakland, you know, is a AAA stadium too big, maybe? Who could say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not 6,000 people, roughly. You got bad viewership up in the Mariners area, unfortunately. I mean, the Mariners are a good franchise. It's unfortunate they're not getting good viewership. There's a lot of bad news headed around the MLB this year. A lot of it. And some of it was the Angels are just going to be terrible. And it turns out they're not as bad as people thought they might be. I don't know. Or the league's bad. I don't. Doesn't matter.
10 games in, hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell 10 games
in. Statistics haven't set in. Let's hold on.
You got this finally good news story. It's like, this guy's going to break a record. They're advertising it. And then he hit a ball. Line drive straight back to the pitcher. The best thing the pitcher can do is defend himself, and it almost looks like a catch. But it drops out of his glove because, you know, you're kind of just defending yourself, as far as I recall this. I might be getting not perfect. And then pitcher picks it up, throws the first, but Sean Yule is already there. Okay, this is how MLB scoring works. At that moment in time, the official scorekeeper for the game makes a decision and says that was either a hit, an error, or fielder's choice if there's another player on base, right?
Sure. Yep.
Okay. That one gets reviewed immediately by a second person, and they confer about it, and they say, all right, you know what? That was uncatchable. It was a hit. All right. Now, the process for scorekeeping a game is that at the end of the game, questionable calls are reviewed, and any changes that MLB or other people, like teams, can see the official scorekeeping as it's going on. And if something's ruled a hit or an error, they can appeal it right then with the scorekeepers or the MLB right then.
Yeah. And it's not like, to be clear what he's saying, it's not like they can change the outcome of the game. But you know, if they're like, oh, you know, the team, you know, because it changes the statistics, helps the players or the clubs look better.
Golden Glove players, sometimes they'll get an E charge to them, and the club will be like, that was uncatchable. He ran smack into the wall full speed, and you expected him to catch it, and you charged him with an error. You know what I mean?
Right. And stuff like that makes a big difference for these players. So the clubs will totally go to bat for them for this stuff.
So now we're on chance number two for this hit to be called an error or whatever else. It's still a hit. 2 days later, for some reason, it sounds like possibly another team brought it up. MLB inexplicably just changes it to an error.
That feels shady.
Angels appeal immediately denied, no questions asked.
So the other part about this story is, I don't know if you saw this part, Andrew, that actually something else in that streak had been changed as well, like from a week ago. And what happened that day actually didn't even matter at all because the streak had ended a week earlier.
Oh my God.
And the stuff that was being laid out in the article is like, the only way this stuff could happen is if someone is like going through and like challenging every one of these calls. And they said the only people who would care are either the people involved in them, right? Like this guy, what was his name?
Nolan
of the Angels,
better, but
or
I had
the other players on the other teams.
I made a joke at the beginning of this podcast. It was a really, really good one. Okay. They were really good at drafting dudes named Nolan and getting good stuff out of them. Nolan Ryan and Nolan Shanuel being two examples, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was really felt kind of bad that I didn't, and he's going to be an Angel for a while, I think. So I was like, I should learn how to say the guy's name. So I looked it up, Shanuel. You want to guess what Nolan Shanuel's middle name is?
Ryan.
Yep.
You know.
I didn't know.
His parents knew.
His dad's name is Ryan.
His dad's family name is Ryan?
No, his dad's name is Ryan.
No, his dad is Ryan Shanuel. Oh, that's very funny.
It's very good. That
dad knew.
Really
no, I don't believe it. I believe the dad knew.
His dad knew.
This feels like a Willie Mays Hayes situation.
This is exactly. It's a setup.
Yeah. The fix is in for sure.
That kid was holding a baseball the minute he came out.
It sucks, though. Like, the whole thing is sad. It's like, this is a dumb, fun record that no one cares about.
You gotta wonder what team or what guy was holding a grudge and just waiting.
That's totally what the article was that I read was totally like, look, this is a fussy, arcane thing. It's dumb that people care about this, but like, it's fun for the people involved. That's cool. What loser is coming in and like challenging these calls later to try and get it overturned? It's like someone this guy doesn't like somehow. Like, that's really mean.
It's pretty terrible. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Big bummer.
Oh, it's just so you were saying the refs inserted themselves, and I was like, and here's MLB in the midst of just embroiling themselves in scandal after scandal and not doing anything to fix any of the problems the other teams are having and wasting time. Again, it's like game development. I understand that somebody else's job that has nothing to do with Shohei Ohtani's betting problems is doing their job. But like, you'd think someone up in the MLB would be like, shut it down. We're not doing this.
From bad news to good news.
Andrew?
Huh?
Andrew?
Who? What?
I think I'm in Dune 2. Aduri.
It's been a long day, gentlemen.
I agree with you.
But Andrew and Michael, we can hoist the flag of victory for Super Earth. Because
oh, man. Michael.
We did it.
Folks. Democracy Michael, has been
we
spread.
Did it. Democracy accomplished.
Democracy has overrun the enemies of Super Earth.
The automatons have definitely been wiped out and aren't going to come back. That's what they told us, so therefore it has to be true.
That's it. End of story. And mission well done.
The progress on the bug front is accelerating extremely rapidly to the point where people are starting to estimate that all the bugs will also be eliminated within the next couple days. Or the next few days, which very conveniently times out to when a new war bond is releasing on like the 11th or 12th or something.
I would very much love out of game for them to be like, what if we just didn't do anything for a day and we let them drop on these planets with nothing to do?
That's a very funny idea,
right? Like just create a bunch of missions that let people drop and just do walk like,
around.
What do we do? I don't know. I could just walk around on any of these planets. There's,
the problem is what would happen is people would start team killing each other and they don't want that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess, but
you don't want to train the bad actors to get better at it, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. But the trolling possibilities are high.
The trolling possibilities are already high because there was a post on their which by the way, I hate that developers have just decided that Discord now is the place to tell people about stuff.
Oh, really? They have a Discord?
They have a Discord with official communication from the developers, one of which there is a rogue item that has shown up in the ship upgrades screen.
Oh.
And they're like, you know, don't buy this. It doesn't work. It's actually like bad and will, you know, harm you, but all like in character voice and stuff. But actually it is just it's a bugged item. It's just bad. And
oh, really?
And so, like, they added it in a patch, and like it doesn't work. And they're just like, it's bugged. Don't use it. You're gonna break your stuff. But it's very funny they stay in character, because now I'm like, well, if this is an actual legitimate bug, can you please like break character to tell me so that we don't like? Because you know, I want to buy it now. It's like, they definitely want to try the thing. You know. Y'all. It's always fun to go against the Ministry of Propaganda, right?
Right.
Of course.
So, I thought it's very funny that even their bug reports are in character. but the speculation is that something real big is going to drop when this new war bond comes out. And you know, a lot of speculation about the third faction or a whole bunch of new items and weapons. It sounds like, based on this bug item, probably new ship enhancements, stratagems. So, seems like a big deal. I would love to get some more dives in with you gentlemen over the days.
I think that can be made possible. Things are settling in towards a week where in games can happen unlike last week. So that's kind of nice on the personal front.
Well, on a note that's very personal for this podcast.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. What do we got?
There are patch notes for Bellatro, and we're going to live react to them right now.
Okay, hold on.
Waiting all afternoon for this.
Can you hear me through? I don't know if Discord's cutting me off. I'm going to do a deep breath because I don't know if this game gets harder if I can handle it. I just got to breathe through it. Lamaz.
So I've read a bunch of these already, so it's not me live reacting, but I know what's important here.
JJ, I got to tell you about some recent experiences in this game. Michael, I think you'll appreciate them. But I don't know if we want to do that after this.
No, go, give me. Lay it on me. What's been your Bellatro?
I beat that Joker deck, the one that's colored, the back of it is black.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get, I mean, Michael, what if later in the game you can have lots of upgrades?
Okay.
But earlier in the game, it's really hard to score points.
Okay, so you're talking about a log difficulty curve.
It's really the worst thing about it is because it's minus hand size, right? That's the downside. Minus hand size really sucks because, I mean, for obvious reasons, but like trying to form poker hands, you just get to see less cards, man. It's hard to make better hands when you see less cards. It's tough.
But so not only does it hamper your points, right? You get no point bonuses, you get no hand bonuses, you get no discard bonuses. But your income is also lower because, as we were describing previously, it's like if you have leftover hands, you get money.
Yeah. It hurts your economy because you're having to play more hands in order to get the same points.
But the thing the deck lets you do is hold more jokers. But the way you get more jokers is by buying them. But you can't buy them because you're not making as much money.
That deck really forces you to pay a lot of attention to the economy of the game. And really, really hard in the first couple rounds. Like, guarantee that you're making $5 to $7 hand, regardless of anything else. And if you don't, you may as well just reset. Like, that deck in specific is really tough about it.
It was brutal. It was days and days of felt like beating my head against the wall, waiting for a combo of jokers to come up that would get me through it.
The other thing that also gets you through it is if you see if by the time you beat the first boss, because really you should probably still be able to beat the first round without too much trouble, right?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you get five hands in a row where you don't draw a pair.
Yeah, luck comes for us all. But if you get through that first one and you see the voucher that is plus one hand size, and you're just like,
oh, yeah,
all right, the king is back.
Yeah, eventually Michael got my deck to be everything is a face card. Technically, like it's even a two is a face card, right?
Okay.
Every played face card has a 50% chance to give you a dollar.
Wow, okay.
Every card counts in scoring.
So then it doesn't matter if it's like part of the hand you're playing, it still counts. So it still gives you a 50% chance to get a dollar.
If you play a pair, if you play a pair, like it still counts the king, jack, queen you also played for points. And then a whole bunch of upgrades for just pairs.
Yeah. Pairs is like one of the sweetest builds if you can get all the stuff for it. But the problem is early on, you need something else because, you're not going to make it just playing a pair, right?
Right.
But you get that right stuff and then,
And then the last one, the thing that really took it over the top, which so you remember I was getting a 50% chance to get a dollar for every card played and I was playing five cards a turn. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joker in there. Every time you sell a card, each ante, so every three rounds, right? Mini boss, major boss. You can sell things. Every time you sell something, you get 0.5 multiplier.
Yeah, so 0.5 multiplier, multiplier. So it doesn't add to your multiplier, it multiplies it.
Yeah. So you just start buying stuff. every round, you just... Like, okay, I play, I'm going to play these pairs.
Sell it. Clear out the shop.
Well, I'm going to play these, I'm going to play these pairs because they don't win me the hand right away. So I'll usually play three hands, which gives me 15 chances at 50% for a dollar. I'll make $25, then I'll buy stuff in the shop and sell it. And now I have three multiplier for hitting the boss. All of a sudden that hand that was worth 10,000 points is worth 100,000 points.
Yeah. That one, what is the name of that joker? That joker in particular is very good.
I don't know. I can't remember all the joker names. I really try and I can't remember them all. There's 150 jokers in that game.
It's going to make going through these patch notes tough though.
Oh, okay. I'll pull up a list of jokers. Hold on.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that stuff, in a minute. There's some other stuff that is just more general, which I think is going to be, interesting. So
that game's pretty good, man. I know we're bullying you a little bit.
But I bullied Andy into buying it, and he's thankful.
Uh-oh. Didn't like my Google search for Sill. Oh, it's making loud noises that it's not supposed to make.
Uh-oh.
Sell this, sell this, sell this, sell this. sell this.
What are you doing? No,
that's I'm trying to find the one that you were asking about, where you gain molt for selling stuff.
Oh, yeah. I
don't like.
By
you know
pictures.
What card I don't like very that much.
The pictures.
The card. Yeah. The card I really don't like is when you get molt for not playing your most played hand, because eventually you're going to play your most played hand and you lose all the molt.
Yeah, it's not my favorite Joker. It's one of the really tough ones to build around that I think is probably due for a change here. So here, while you're looking up like a big list of all the Jokers, because it'll be helpful to just have them on hand.
Yep.
So here are some changes to stuff that they're just not related to anything, right? So you know about the different stake levels, right? Basically the difficulties on each deck that turn up.
Oh, when you put a different colored poker chip out?
Yeah, so you win the first one, which is the white stake. Then you have, I don't remember, it's like red and black, and they go up from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the anti-scaling is changing on some of the stake values up to, so I think gold is the highest stake.
I don't know, man. I can barely beat the easiest ones.
So, but in general, like some of the middle and higher stakes, they start changing like some of the things. And so when you get to some of the higher stakes, like all of a sudden the small blind doesn't reward you any money for beating it anymore. Like it has no reward money, right? You still get money from interest or anything else that's going on, but there's no inherent money there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they start adding Eternal to Jokers at a certain point where you can now no longer sell them. So like if you buy an Eternal Joker, it just sticks up there forever.
Oh,
you can never get rid of it.
All right.
And previously...
By the way, negative Jokers are the most powerful thing in the game. Doesn't matter what the Joker is. A negative Joker is just powerful.
Yes, because it just takes no space, basically.
Oh, that's nice.
Right. Well, it takes no space, but Michael, there's also cards that trigger based on how many Jokers you have. So even if it's a Joker that you will never use, like,
it's free. You may as well get it. It's awesome. Yeah.
If the hand played is a straight flush, you gain x4 molt. It's like, yeah, but I'm never going to play a straight flush because my build is for pairs.
But it doesn't matter if it takes no space.
I can always sell it later if I need money. And this Joker over here that gives me 1.5 multiplier for each uncommon Joker means that that's worth 1.5 molt and takes no space.
Yep.
Negative Jokers are really, really good.
Yes.
Campfire is the one I was thinking of.
Okay, yeah. Campfire is going to come up in these patch notes.
No!
So... one of the things that changes at the higher stake costs, I talked about how like you eliminate reward money, you get these Eternal Jokers. At some of the higher ones, there would be a increasing cost for packs as the run went on.
Okay.
Which is brutal. I mean, it's like
you
buy a pack.
Rough, dude. You really need
that
thing.
The next one is more expensive, and the next one is more expensive. Brutal.
What's the voucher? 25% off everything in the shop?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you would need that.
They're getting rid of that and replacing it with a perishable mechanic. Meaning like Eternal, but a Joker with perishable will have a 30% chance. So any Joker will have a 30% chance to get a perishable sticker. And after it gets perishable, you get 5 rounds and the Joker disappears.
Ugh. I guess you could always buy it again later.
Or buy something else, right? And you get a warning. Like you get 5
rounds.
You can
sell it too. Round 4, you can sell it.
Yeah. Way better. And the gold stake, which was the highest round, just applied -1 hand size across the board, which is incredibly brutal.
Yeah, especially if you play like black deck, then you only get 2 hands.
Yeah. No, hand size, not hands.
Oh, hand size. Oh, hand size is manageable as long as you've got a build for low hand size stuff.
It's pretty brutal though, dude. Disregarding the other stuff, like your deck also gives you a minus hand size or something else, like that's really rough.
There's a lot of stuff that gives you minus hand size because
and by the way, all the lower stakes stack, right? So it's all these things on top of each other, right?
Yeah. There's some stuff, Michael, that you can add -2 Jokers, but you lose hand size, and it's like, I don't know. I guess it's still better.
And the -1 hand size has been scrapped and replaced with a rental mechanic. where a Joker will now have a 30% chance to have a rental sticker, which can stack with Eternal and Perishable, and it will make them cost $1 up front and $3 every round to keep it.
Like,
that's for the hardest difficulty.
That's pretty brutal.
It's brutal. Eternal will now apply to Jokers in Buffoon packs, which wasn't the case before. That's a big change. Here's one that I think is actually a really good change. Every run, the first shop will always include a regular Buffoon pack as one of the options.
Oh, good, because sometimes you run into no Joker there, and it makes the first rounds of the game that much harder.
I am standing up and applauding. That is such a good change, because especially the first couple rounds, if you have no Jokers, you can just get hosed on hands. Like, the very first blind at 300 is okay. You can usually beat that with one hand. Like, if you use all your discards and get, like, a full house or a high straight flush or a high straight or something, you can usually get 300 out of that. But 450 is pretty tough. 290
for straight, I think.
And it becomes pretty brutal once you have to get like 600 and you haven't gotten any decent jokers, right?
Yeah.
Like plus one mult is not enough to get you to 600 without having like really good hands.
Or like getting planet packs or tarot cards is not going to get you consistent points.
Right.
And it's early jokers is the only way to get consistent points.
Yeah. You better hope that you just are able to make straights every time or whatever. Speaking of straights, they have changed the upgrade for straights to now give an extra mult from what it was doing before. So when you buff, when you pick Saturn out of the planet pack, it gives you plus three mult instead of plus two.
Now it's going to do plus three. Okay.
That's a big deal.
Straights were underpowered. You shouldn't do straights. Yeah, you should always do flush. That's what I was just about to say.
Yep. And they're also buffing Neptune, which is the straight flush, and Eris and Ceres, all of which are all related to flushes of various types. Eris is flush 5 and Ceres is flush house. They've changed some of the tags. You remember the tags you get for skipping a blind?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I still have two undiscovered ones somehow after playing Black Deck like 9 million times.
There's a bunch of very strange ones. So, you know, the uncommon tag, rare tag, polychrome, holo, and foil tags will now all make the Joker that gets them free.
Oh,
huge change.
You should always take those now.
Well, the negative one also, I didn't know if I listed negative on there, but,
Oh my God.
So, you should probably take them, or it's at least worth considering taking them now.
Early game, it makes a lot of sense because they're too expensive sometimes. Because if you add a multiplier, so Michael, like a card in general has a base cost, but if you add buffers to it, like polychrome or whatever, it actually costs more.
Okay.
So sometimes early game, you're like, ooh, round two, the next Joker I see will have 1.5 times mult on it. But if the next Joker I see is rare and the next Joker I see has 1.5 times mult on it, it's going to cost $13. And then two rounds, I won't have $13.
Right.
So I'm wasting my time.
It makes those tags like not complete wastes when you see them early, and at least gives you the thought about considering them late game, right? Whereas before, you would just automatically skip them because you know you're going to get way more money from playing the round than the Joker costs anyway. The investment tag will give $25 instead of $15. That's the one you get that's the one for skipping, and then you get it when you beat the boss.
Yeah, that was a tag I have never taken.
Yeah. You might have to take it in order to get the collection thing there, Andy, just FYI.
I think it shows up even if you haven't taken it, because there's a bunch of them in there that I have never clicked on that it says I've seen.
Okay. Because I don't know how that works. Blue seal. Have you ever had one of those on a card?
Yeah. Hold this card and then you get a planet.
The blue seal will now create the planet card of the final poker hand you played during that round.
I don't like that change.
That's a way... Well, before it was a random planet.
Yeah.
You don't like that it's better?
Okay, I guess it's better.
Blue seals are hard to get, man. Unless you get it out of a, luckily out of a standard pack, the only way to get them is with a spectral card. You're not going to use a spectral card for a seal on one card unless both your options suck. Like, the spectral cards are super powerful, and that's like one of the weakest ones. But now,
maybe, a lot of the times, though, they're good. Sometimes the spectral cards are too powerful. So, like, Michael, what happens if you have you're playing pairs, right?
Okay.
Okay. So a pair of twos will score you 100,000 points. A flush will only score you like 15,000 points because you've built around pairs.
Right. That makes sense.
Okay. There's a spectral card in there that's like, hey, change all these cards to a random suit. Normally, that's really, 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 really good.
Yeah. I mean, you have the chance, like, of turning up to like eight cards or something 15, to the same suit.
You could turn like 15 cards, I think, or what? Oh, like eight cards, right? Because it's your hand, into a random suit that then you've now added against the rest of your deck. So you can start pulling hearts as flushes like all the time.
Sure.
Early okay. game, probably dominate because you can just keep playing flush, flush, flush. But late game, if it's that choice or something else, should you take that if you're playing pairs?
That becomes tougher.
It does, because you can play a pair and then accidentally play a flush at the same time.
Yeah, you can. You have to like intentionally then leave off extra cards that could be worth points in order to prevent yourself from getting a flush, because pairs are worth more. But now you have, you know, you've created anti synergy with yourself, right?
Right. You've backed yourself into a corner, especially if you wound up in a round where you have to play five cards.
Yep. There are bosses where you must play five. In fact, I was about to beat the black deck on anti eight. And I had, unfortunately, one of the cards that if you play four cards exactly, you get extra chips.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I was on the you must play five round. And I had built up enough chips and molt to win no matter what I did, even if I played five cards and not four. So the first two hands, I played five cards like I was supposed to. And then a really good four-card hand came up, and I had played four cards for seven rounds, right? 21 battles in a row. I know where this is going. Uh-oh. I saw the four-card hand, and I snap played it and lost because I didn't get any points because you must play five. And it was like
boss is so my brutal. Heart
fell into my stomach and realized I just lost on the boss eight with my own mistake.
Another good change here, the Magician Tarot, which turns a card into a lucky card. You now get two cards instead of one.
Yeah, lucky cards kind of suck.
Brings it on par with all the other ones that change two cards at once instead of one.
Yeah. I think lucky cards ability... are supposed to be better than they are, but chance being what it is, it kind of suck.
But it's also, they were impossible to get enough of them for it to matter, so you would never bother going for it.
Well, also, you know, the other one that I consistently keep picking, I don't know why I do this to myself, Michael. If you see 1 in 4, do you think that's a good chance or a bad chance?
Are you talking about the Space Joker?
Don't ruin it.
I was going to say, it's not terrible, but it's not something that I would bank on.
But if you get it early, right, shouldn't it pay off that you would get a bunch of free?
Shouldn't it? Shouldn't it be that if you open a Joker pack and there's a card in there that says 1 in 4 chance to add these amazing bonuses to your Jokers, that if you see it 3 or 4 times, you should like get maybe it once or twice?
So the thing about it is, I would say 1 in 4 is just high enough to hook you on something like that.
Sure is.
I
do it to myself every run. Well, this run must be the one that I hit the 1 in 4. I'm going to try again.
So here's what I'll tell you. I know Andy now is talking about Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune is the card I was talking about.
Space Joker does the same thing, but it levels the hand up, like a 1 in 4 chance of leveling up the hand you play.
At least it's permanent.
Yeah, that one I actually do use and get some use out of. It's not like, you know, guaranteed, but if you got nothing else to spend the money on. And
if it's negative, it's even better.
If it gets you some free levels, right, like go for it.
Yeah.
If you get like 2 level ups out of it, it's worth the cost. But Wheel of Fortune is the tarot you pick when the other choices are bad. That's the only time I ever pick that one. Because what's going to happen is you're going to have spent your money on that tarot, get nothing, and then insult be super to injury. Mad about it.
Insult to injury. You know what it does when you don't get it?
It just says nope.
It puts a giant nope on the screen with an exclamation point.
They know. They know.
It's so know. Brutal.
So a bunch of other good changes here in terms of like individual Jokers. I don't know that we want to go through these. There's like so many.
I mean, the biggest change would be if you could get any of the legendary Jokers outside of the Soul card.
No.
Oh,
they are changing what Yorick does. I've only seen one. Oh, have you only seen the one?
Kaneo gains a molt when a face card is destroyed, which pairs really well with every card as a face card.
Yeah. The only one that got changed was Yorick, which the old effect was removed, and the new effect is it increases by 1x molt every 23 cards discarded.
1x molt every 23 discards?
Discarded cards.
Every 23 discarded total cards.
Yes. So it's not like discarded times you hit the discard button. It's individual cards discarded.
So okay,
the previous effect for this Joker involved using discards.
23 discards and then you get 5 molt.
Or something, yeah. And it was really hard to use because 23 discards is a lot.
Well, 23 discards is a lot to only get X5 molt when you could get Kaneo, who'll give you X5 molt immediately, basically.
Well, it's because they're legendary. You never get that choice, right? You just get a random one. And you
no, I'm just saying it's like not even close to on par with some of these other legendaries I'm reading here. Yeah,
the legendary ones are super broken, but you never see them. So it kind of barely matters. They made a good change. The Fibonacci Joker, which was like based on like the numbers in the Fibonacci sequence, get bonuses. Used to cost 7. They made it cost 8 because Fibonacci.
Oh, that's very good.
That's very good.
I was like, why would they change Fibonacci Joker? It's already good.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
That's very good. I like that. Yes. This is the best change so far.
Clap for that. The Ancient Joker, which is the one that bases on a suit of cards.
1.5x molt based on a suit that rotates.
Yes. It now cannot select the same suit between rounds.
Oh, okay. That's a bummer. Doesn't matter that much.
The Steel Joker, I don't know if you ever used that one.
I don't like it, but I've seen it.
0.2 molt per Steel card. Steel cards are pretty good once you start stacking them up. If you get enough Steel cards,
I don't know the effective way to get more of them quickly or...
Y'all, they in the tarots. That's the only place. You just keep getting tarots.
Yeah, keep getting tarots, yeah.
They reduced it from 0.25 molt to 0.2 molt per steel. Okay. Not big changes. The Gros Michel, which is the singular banana that goes extinct 1 in 4 times, is changed.
I hate that card because the 1 in 4 actually hits every single time.
It's now changed to 1 in 6.
That's better.
It'll hit every other time.
Yeah, it's a good change because that banana is actually super strong. And the reason you play the banana is because the other banana is really good.
What other banana?
Oh, damn, I just spoiled it for Andy. Andy, you need to be buying that banana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you do. There's a Joker like that only unlocks when the banana gets eaten.
All right, I have bought enough of the blank tickets.
Yep.
To now have unlocked some other ticket, but I have never seen it.
You don't see it unless you buy the blank. That's the problem.
Oh my god.
All those upgraded ones require you to have bought the first one.
In the run.
Yeah, it's in the run. It sucks.
Oh.
I don't know that you'll find it worth it. Yeah. They tell you that at some point in that one of those screens. Yeah. But there's a Joker that specifically only unlocks after the banana gets eaten. And you have to get it on the run where the banana gets eaten, otherwise it won't show up.
Did they change that one too?
No. That one gives you X3, which is
what is playing really music? Good. Hold on. Sorry. The page I was on with the Jokers just started randomly playing music.
Gotta love advertising.
Oh my god.
Andy, terrible. your friend Campfire.
What happened?
Has been nerfed.
Why?
It is down to 0.25 per card sold from 0.5.
Yeah. So it should probably be 0.25 anyway.
Because it's too good. You can sell so many and get like
well, five if you have a good economy, right? There's definitely times Campfire has shown up for me early game and I'm like, it's a waste of money because I have $3.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just everything, you know. There's also a bunch more changes here, like stuff costing a little more, a little less. Some stuff moving down from rare to uncommon. A couple moving up to rare from uncommon. Stuff like that.
Baseball card.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to see more of the... I want to see more money build stuff, but I never see it.
There is a... there's a Joker for... getting procs off lucky cards. I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Yeah, there's some Jokers. I have never looked at a list of Jokers for this game before, and now I'm kind of like, what?
Yeah, dude, some of these are crazy. Anywho, that's just you know, a small taste of the how Balatro-ified we are on this podcast now.
Oh, I have a hard time wanting to do... In fact, wanted to only do Balatro in the few spare minutes I had this past week. So I didn't even bother doing Towers this month. I didn't do any of them in COTC. I literally just was like, I'd rather do Balatro than Towers. I hate Towers so much.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything, so.
Yeah.
Wise choice.
I mean, I missed the Traveler's Seals, but.
Yeah. What are a couple more 3-star characters?
Nothing. At this point, nothing.
All right. Before we go, though, I got to hear from Michael. I heard that you continued adventuring into the Forbidden West.
I did.
I don't know how it's going.
Yeah. So
how are you still alive?
I have really just started my foray into the West.
Are there worse than snakes?
Say what?
Are there worse things than snakes out there?
Supposedly, yes. Oh. I think I had played about an hour or so last time we had checked in. So I finished what turned out to be the second half of the opening, which gives you your story impetus for journeying out west. And then saw the, you know, they do that moment of building in the title card a couple of hours into the start of the game. So I reached the title card and then the journey began in earnest.
Oh,
so I am on my way out west and have already been waylaid by circumstances. So I'm trying to clear the delay to get me to the border of the West.
Still loving it.
Still loving it. Of course, I've fallen right back into the, ooh, what's this question mark on the map? I should go explore.
No.
That's the game though. That's the game.
We're too old for it.
Hey man.
He wants
to don't have fun,
man. The man wants what he wants, right?
I know. I know who we are. I mean, look, Michael walks on the blank gray spaces of the map in COTC because he needs to see the map filled in.
I don't like that fog of war.
And so do I.
The ultimate hater of fog of war.
That's cool. Are you regaining your powers quickly enough that it doesn't feel like a scam, or is it one of those like this is going to be all game again?
Yeah, so I'm getting there, but there's also the skill trees are greatly expanded in this game. So there's some time spent in scrolling through the new skill trees and trying to decide, all right, where does it make sense for me to dump points, and how do I want to build this out in the early game?
I was going to say, I imagine just like the last game, you'll have plenty of points to go around by the time you get
by the end. I'm sure there will, especially doing lots of the side quests. They seem, at least some of these first couple seem pretty generous with the skill points.
I see.
So it seems like they're trying to get you back up to speed quickly if you want to put in a little extra time.
All right. That's good. And quick Steam Deck check-in. I hear you're decking these days.
I am decking these days. So I fired up something new. I had put some things onto the deck that had just been collecting digital dust in my library because they seemed like they would be good games to play in a Steam Deck environment. So I fired up Axiom Verge, which is an older game. So getting back to our We Were Gamers roots.
We Were Gamers. Axiom Verge.
Yeah. So it's a kind of a pixelated Metroidvania that I know is super popular. And
buddy, do you know that game is a decade old? Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. I do know that it's a decade
old. You did
it. There's a sequel that is several years old at this point.
You're helping the podcast.
Hey man, I'm back. but it's good. It definitely it drops you right into it without really any kind of explanation or direction. So I'm just sort of poking my way around the map at this point and running into dead ends and finding other ways to go.
Very much the classic Super Metroid theme of like, here you go.
Yes, very much that. And so it throws a tool at you and it says you can do this and that with it. And, you know, that pops a couple of, oh, I should go back to this point in the map because that was a dead end that I can get through now.
Of course.
The classic.
Yeah, but it's very good game for the deck.
It's a good thing for classic to be classic, especially I think the Steam Deck. I think it could run Helldivers, but I want to sit at my desk with a big screen to make sure there's no bugs coming up behind me. I can't relax playing Helldivers, right?
Right. The Steam Deck is the perfect Balatro machine, though.
Yo, like, it is a chill. That is the most chill of chill devices. And they knew it going in, because my opinion of how it runs games and how it very little of the time gets so hot that you hear the fan, right? Like Balatro, I hear the fan every 15 minutes. It comes on for about a second and a half during an animation and then shuts off.
The patch notes also mentioned improved performance on the Steam Deck.
Holla. Holla. Get cooler.
So they're aware.
There was a little bug on the Steam Deck on Balatro where sometimes I'd have to restart the game because it wouldn't take an input other than the fake mouse side.
Oh, interesting. Like the touchscreen didn't work either?
No, nothing would work, and it would just move the little mouse around and not do anything. But this only happened twice. I played the game a heck of a lot more than twice. I have found an interesting thing, Michael, that maybe will or won't happen to you, but I have a fix for it if it happens to you.
Okay.
Many a time, and by many, I mean three, because more than three was too many for me to be fooled again, I would put the game into sleep mode straight from the game with the power button of the Steam Deck. Any game. Not just Balatro, but other games.
All right.
If I left it for a while, nothing bad would happen. But one, two, three, maybe-ish times, if I put the game into sleep and then a few under 10 minutes later, I decided I was going to go back and play more. Like, let's say I was cooking or something, right? And I was playing Steam Deck. I went to go stir some stuff, gumbo or whatever, and then go back to playing. I would unsleep the Steam Deck. The game would come back on for a second and then would just go to a black screen and then force me to hard restart the Steam Deck.
Huh.
And it always seemed to be coming out of sleep. I don't know if they've patched whatever was causing that problem, but just something to be aware of. If you're going to sleep mode it, be prepared the first couple times if you do it for a short period to maybe lose your spot.
There's doubly no reason to do that with Bellatro, though, because there's no excuse. There's nothing stopping you from just quitting mid-hand. You don't have to finish anything. You can just quit whenever. So
I do that with Bellatro, but I just wanted him to know that I have had that problem.
No, that's a hot tip.
That's good to know. Yeah,
very good tip.
Surprised by it on a short sleep. I've never had it happen on a long sleep.
Okay.
This was also months and months and months and months and months ago because I stopped trying to sleep games and I haven't checked back to see if it's still happening.
So maybe patched out.
I mean, they patch this thing all the time, which is another reason I kind of love it.
Well, if you want to give us good tips, Michael, where can people do that?
You can email us at podcast@wewergamers.com. Reach out, let us know. Good stuff, bad stuff. What should I load on my Steam Deck? Let me know that.
Yeah, that's the best tip we could get. And check us out on YouTube. We're youtube.com/@wewergamers. Got hot vids up there. Check them out, like them, subscribe, all that stuff. Engage with the algorithm. That's what people say.
I don't like that they say
Do they say it? I assume they say it.
I think they do. Hey, happy Eclipse Day.
Don't stare at it. It's too late, but don't do it now. Or next time.